Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
I gotta remember to adjust my levels after
Jesus,
each.
I mean, this was the second time we tried this. He just blew my eardrums out with that.
And I know it wasn't that loud to the listeners because of how I have it adjusted, but yeah, because you and I don't know what it is about our open and our voices, but when I do my other podcast, another Pagan podcast, Dawn is really quiet. Teresa is not. and so I constantly have to sit here and fiddle with the volume knob on both the mics and the output to our headphones, and apparently had the headphones up
apparently
a little bit
forgot,
high.
You forgot to reset to default, you son of a bitch.
Exactly.
Oh, after that raping I got from my ear, do you want to do the Adam and Eve promo?
Sure. You know where you can get a much more pleasant raping?
It's not really raping if it's pleasant,
well,
is it?
I don't know.
I think that's more of an ethical debate, really.
Look, when it comes to that, I say if you're into whatever you're into and if you enjoy it, and I've met people that are into the whole...
I think we should drop this topic now and just
yeah,
do
but
promo.
Anyway, I've met people that are into that, and if you're into it, hey, do your thing. And one place that might help you do your thing...
To get the products,
to get
the
products
AIDS.
And the AIDS and the movies and the books and the this and that and the moon and the stars is adamandeve.com.
And their promo code.
Wait, no, you do the promo every stinking week.
Are you gonna gimp it up?
I'm not gonna gimp it up.
All right, go.
You get 50% off of a single product. You can obviously order all you want, but your most expensive one, cut in half right then and there.
Keep going.
Okay. On top of that, you get 3 free adult DVDs.
You're doing good so far.
To help you do your thing. You got some movies right there on DVD. Throw them on the big screen. Make sure your windows are open so the neighbors can watch you. And there you go. Now, on top of the 3 DVDs and the 50% off, you get a mystery gift. We honestly have no idea what it's going to be.
It's randomized.
Usually pretty small. We've heard lube, we've heard
cock rings,
we've heard flavored stuff, condoms, you know, all kinds
French
of
French ticklers.
Stuff.
I've heard.
So you get a free little bonus mystery gift. It's kind of like playing the lotto. And in order to get all of this,
nope, you forgot free shipping.
Yeah, well, no,
I knew you'd gimp it up.
No, I said in order to get all this, if you use the code STATIC, you also get free shipping.
Yeah, sure, that's where you were going.
That's exactly where I was going, and you don't
sure
know any different.
I'm sure the listeners do know that you gimped. See, I'm used to, on Radiodrome, the reason I always have to do it, Brad and Jared always gimp up the promo whenever I let them do it.
I didn't, and I will stand behind that 100%. Now, we're obviously kind of laughing at this, and first off, thanks to everybody that has used that code. You helped me and Josh out a little bit. It's the
keep the lights on.
It was the holiday season. You helped my family get gifts so that my little niece wasn't out in the cold and I didn't have to tell her that Santa didn't like her anymore, and that's why she didn't get anything from me.
It's not tonight's topic about Santa not existing because he doesn't.
Yeah, I know, but nonetheless, we're laughing at this, and that leads us into the topic, oddly, and that is modern humor.
Yeah, has humor, and I'm not asking this to Scott like as a specific question, more of a philosophical question, has humor changed as time has gone on, or have we just refused to change? You know, are we stuck where
it
we
has,
used to
has
be?
Has humor changed, or have we changed, I think, is the...
Because
you know.
today, and when I talk modern humor, you look at, say... A teen comedy from 1988, and you look at a teen comedy from 2008, and they are so diametrically different in what is considered funny.
Exactly. Well, let's go back to the 80s, and one of the great teen comedy movies that I think still stands up today would be Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
That's not really gross out.
No, it's not. That's not. Okay. I know. That's what I'm getting at. There's some smart humor to it. He's a clever main character. The only, I think the closest thing to a gross out is when he's playing with his keyboard.
And
that's just having fun with it, and it's not that gross, obviously. Now let's take a movie from a few years ago, American Pie.
Yeah.
And they've made a whole series of it, and it seems to me like modern humor all has to do with, let's make our characters do utterly disgusting and, in my opinion, almost nauseating things.
Well, it's sort of the age of the puke and bodily humor. I don't understand why watching people throw up is supposed to be funny, why watching people, you know, accidentally eat feces or drink cum in a beer.
Yeah.
I don't understand why that's supposed to be.
Exactly. And I don't know where that comes from. And I've noticed this is a distinctly American thing. This is American humor that's changing like that. And, you know,
it's almost devolving in a weird way.
And I go on YouTube, and for some reason, like when I see it in a movie, when I see a purposely gross out thing in a movie, I don't find it all that funny. But I go on YouTube, and for instance, there was a video circulating around a while back of a guy hang gliding. And in the middle of his hang gliding adventure, he just Ralphs right there on the hang glider.
Okay.
And, you know, to me, there's a little bit of Schadenfreude there, just going,
haha.
Oh, man, that had to suck. And then I think of, you know, the people on the ground.
Below.
Yeah. Oh, there's some farmer in his field somewhere out there that just got a very unpleasant surprise, you know.
It reminds me of that Simpsons with Arnie Pie, Arnie in the sky, and look out at the, he's in his helicopter, look out at the corner of 4th and Main, because I'm about to be sick. Blah.
Exactly. And there was another video of a girl in the back of an airplane, and it's one of the small planes, and they apparently hit an air pocket or something, but she is obviously not feeling well, so she's throwing up in a bread bag, basically.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the airplane just drops. And I mean drops quick enough to the point that everybody in the seat flies up to the ceiling, including the bread bag and the contents of the bread bag.
Ew.
And it just, wah. And to me, there's a little bit of Schadenfreude there that I'm kind of like, oh, glad it wasn't me, glad I don't get airsick. You know, but when I see it in a movie, I don't find it funny. Like,
because it's not even just gross out. We're going to talk a little bit more about gross out in a little bit.
Yeah.
But there is also this new style of humor, which I'm not offended by it, but I don't find it funny. A perfect example is, it's what I call Family Guy humor. The longer you stay on a joke, you stay on it so long that it becomes that it's not funny anymore. That makes it even funnier. Is sort of Seth MacFarlane's way of looking at it. A perfect example is the new Muppets movie. The scene where they throw the Muppet into the electric fence. If that movie had been made in the 70s or 80s, that scene would have gone on 3-4 seconds with the Muppet just going blah, 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 in the fence. The shot just goes on for like 10, 15 seconds of him just, and they just stay on it. And it's like, it somehow, does that make it funnier that it goes on for 15 seconds? And then they go, yep, fence is electrified. Sorry to me, that's not even remotely funny how long they stood on that.
To me, about the only, an interesting example of staying on a shot a little bit too long. The only time it makes it really, really funny is if the characters somehow verbally put themselves into an awkward situation. Like, if you and I were hanging out at a party or something like that.
That would never happen, yeah, with us. We're nerds.
No. Well, I go to parties and I throw parties and I have fun. I just don't invite you. But
that's because I'm not fun at a party. You're smart.
Yes, I know. But, you know, let's say, just for sake of argument, the character that I'm playing or whatnot comes up and happens to hit on you because I'm gay. It obviously fails on your end, and then they hang on
that awkward silence.
Awkward silence situation. That kind of a hanging shot can make me giggle, because I'm like, you know, I want to know how this character is going to get out of this awkward situation, because I've been in that awkward situation.
But I mean, but look at my example of the Muppet thing. Does that somehow make it funnier that rather than seeing him fry for 3 seconds, you see him fry for 15 seconds, that all of a sudden that makes the humor better or something? Because kids today, and when I say kids, I'm meaning teens, early 20s, you know, college students. I'm old, so they're all kids to me. They seem to think that that's funnier. I mean, I've actually heard complaints about people when they watch an 80s movie, oh man, that joke went by too quick.
No, I know what it could be, Josh. It could be
that we're old.
You and I, being older, having our worldly experience and everything like that, we pick up on the humor much quicker.
Are you saying we're actually smarter than the dumbasses
than
of
the
today?
Idiots that are coming out of all, and I'm talking to the listeners, all of you idiots, every single one of you that are still. I'm just kidding.
But
there's our awkward silence moment. Okay. Exactly. But yeah, I think that. Because we had these movies where the jokes did go by quickly, and even looking back to 90s television, and I know you don't like them, but Beavis and Butthead.
I watched them back then. I thought they were funny back then. And again, my humor probably changed because I see the same episodes and I go, dude, what the fuck was I thinking?
But there were a lot of jokes, and especially in the scenes that you don't see anymore when they're making fun of the videos.
Yeah.
Or MST3K. If you're watching an episode of MST3K, there can be scenes in those movies where they will fire off 7 or 8 jokes in less than 6 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that you and I just we're trained to pick up on those really quick ones, whereas a lot of people today aren't.
Well, and then it goes the opposite direction, too. Sometimes there's too quick. Look at The Simpsons in the last, I know we talked about this before, but The Simpsons in the last, say, 5 years. It's almost like they're afraid if 5 seconds go by and there's not a gag that they're going to lose the audience. You know, The Simpsons is full of, if you go back to look at, say, a season 3 episode, they might go 3-4 minutes just moving the story along without a gag. Now, they won't go more than 5 or 10 seconds without having some sort of sight gag or audio gag that, you know, we got to keep the audience engaged. We got to keep them engaged.
Yeah, and I really don't know where that comes from, but it's an interesting change. Let's go back to the gross-out humor.
Okay.
Maybe it is the fact that I'm older. Maybe it is the fact that I've dealt with, you know, my niece, my nephew.
I'm
my
a
friends.
Father. I've had shit on me. I've had piss on me. I've been puked on. I've had kid puke on my head. Yeah. That's not funny.
And I think that I was going to say, I think that really dealing with kids, I don't have any kids of my own, I'll admit that, but dealing with young ones, dealing with children where you're like, oh, I love you. Look at the cute baby. Blah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you get them undressed to take their bath and whatnot, and boys are especially bad at this, and they just create the little fountain or just poop themselves. It stops being funny after a while. At first you're like, wait, I have to clean this up. Damn it. You know?
It's not even gross out humor as much as it's just gross out in general. This seems to be a big thing today. Like, look at Human Centipede 2. That whole movie's built around poop. It's built around, hey, look how much poop we can get on the screen. Poop is gross. That makes the movie gross. It doesn't matter if the movie's good, because it's not.
No.
But there's so much poop on screen, we're really pushing an envelope with how much poop we're showing. I don't understand why that's appealing.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And again, going back to, the Wayans brothers, you know, scary movie, dance movie, superhero movie, scary movie 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, on to 38. And
epic.
The movies, the date movie, all of that kind of stuff.
Most of those, Seltzer and Freeberg, I think, are the guys that do most of those.
Yeah, and I don't know what happened, but looking at a lot of that, I don't find it either, because, again, it's either puke, poo, pee, or drugs.
Or just straight-out references. With the Setzer and Freeberg stuff, all they do is, hey, look, we're referencing Transformers. That's funny, right? No, that's not. Just referencing something else is not humor, guys. I'm sorry, and I'm sorry to that guy with the glasses people, but Kickassia and Suburban Nights, you pulled the exact same thing. All it was we were you were referencing other things, and that was supposed to be the joke.
Right.
So you guys fell into the same trap, and yet these are the guys who complain about like Epic Movie and stuff like that about how they're not funny, and exactly. They did the exact same thing.
And to be honest, watching Suburban Nights, I've not seen. I haven't seen anything that bad since I watched Paranoia.
Oh
no! I'm just. I love you, Brad.
he is kind of a fanboy, bro. He kind of vicariously lives through me since I do a show with you every week.
Yeah, I know, but he doesn't listen to Lost in the Static anyway. He's never going to hear that. But, to give them credit, and this is just an aside. I know it's a little off topic, but Nostalgia Critic just did a review of Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, I didn't watch that. I've never even seen the movie, so I wouldn't have.
Okay. Well, if you've watched Moulin Rouge, it's actually an enjoyable review. It's the, and this is good. You know, this is one of the reasons why we're not on That Guy with the Glasses is the following statement. It's one of the reviews in very few that I've really truly enjoyed recently.
Well, I do like for the Nostalgia Critic, I like when he goes for the more esoteric stuff. Now, I'm not sure he chose the right movie for this. Did you ever see the review he did of We're Back, A Dinosaur's Tale?
No.
He did it all as Hunter S. Thompson. Did the entire review speaking like Hunter S. Thompson, speaking in Hunter S. Thompson style voice, speaking in Hunter S. Thompson style mannerisms. I thought that was brilliant. Not so sure it fit the movie you were reviewing. I get, you know, that you wanted to do Hunter Thompson, but...
Let's get back on topic. This... And recently, I'm going to call it the age of the big joke, because that's one of the basic humor changes that I've seen in American humor, especially when you compare 80s to today, is today they go for the big common denominator joke.
Well, it's because when we were growing up, the movies in the 80s, a comedy would be targeted at a specific audience. This movie is for the nerds. This movie is for the jocks. This movie is for the sports guy, or, you know, this big sports fan. Now, every comedy has got such a financial risk behind it. They have to hit, this movie has to hit the sports guy and the jock and the nerd.
Yeah. But it's a uniquely American thing, though, and there's that's what's missing in modern humor in a lot of cases is subtlety.
Oh, Americans have never been good at subtlety.
Americans have never been good at subtlety, but we're getting worse. We've gotten worse. I'm not quite far enough north in Wisconsin to pick up the CBC, that's the Canadian yeah. Broadcasting Corporation, on my radio, but luckily a lot come through on podcasts. And ever since I got hooked on Kids in the Hall in the early 90s, and I know you don't like them.
I watched them in the early 90s. I don't like them. Again, that's one that I loved then. I see them now, and I can't understand why I found them funny.
Yeah, their humor, it doesn't hold up for some reason. It's like watching Seinfeld in reruns. It's just not as funny. In fact, Seinfeld, not in reruns, wasn't that funny. But
I hate Seinfeld.
Yeah, I know. But the deal is there's a few Canadian radio programs that are in podcasts. I'm sorry, I'm just pulling some up here. Comedy Factory, which has some really, really good jokes, and there's one that I really enjoy. Where'd it go? And I apologize. Here we go. This Is That. And it's This Is That is a satirical look at modern issues in Canada. And they're just kind of goofy. And it with This Is That, it took me until the second story of the episode I was listening to realize that it was all a joke. And I was like, all right, good on ya. And they did a story that really struck me white back a while back where they were talking about how a lot of Canadian women, when they're giving birth, they've moved from the hospital to the home. And then they do the water birth, which is birthing in a
right.
big vat of water because it's supposed to be more natural and easier on the child and everything.
I've heard that.
Well, they took it to the next logical step, and they did a story, and it was a mock news story on this couple that have now started taking Canadian parents out into the wilderness to have a wilderness birth. to be born. And they were talking about how, you know, if I could just pull the fathers aside here, there has been a cougar coming through camp. So be care, you know, be on your guard. And one of the biggest problems that they face is that afterbirth is so appetizing to so many of the wild animals that they often have to give birth to the child and immediately leave and leave the afterbirth aside in order to draw the wolves in such a way from eating the babies. And it's a very subtle humor. Well, even with Kids in the Hall, I forget which cast member it was, but he did a story about all the guys named Dave that he knew. And how there were just way too many Daves.
Well, that he, you know, what you made me think of, there's one American organization from Wisconsin that actually, they teeter on this. They both get it and they don't, and that's The Onion. The Onion, sometimes you'll see just a brilliant, subtle satire, and then the next thing is a punch in the balls joke.
Yeah.
And you kind of go, you guys are really trying to grab both audiences, aren't you? You're trying to grab the, hey, football in the groin, and the, okay, that was really witty and very timely and very well-paced joke.
Exactly. You're right, and they originated in Madison, Wisconsin. I think they've moved to California now.
I'm not sure. But, you know, like, and they also, at least for, like, the Onion News Network, the show on IFC, they kind of require you to be a little bit more intelligent to get the joke. Such as they had one recently about how, you know how Obama is constantly kowtowing to the Republicans?
Yes.
The joke was Obama has agreed to give the Republicans everything they want and they get to kick him in the balls. You know, it just about how Obama just, he's not even trying to fight them anymore and they just get to keep abusing him. But you have to realize what's going on in the world or in the country to get that joke.
Well, that's why I like satire. You have to understand what they're satiring in order to get it. Musical group, and I'm not quite...
Spinal Tap.
No, a musical group. I think they're out of New York. I don't remember exactly, but it's called PDQ Bach.
Okay.
PDQ Bach, I could sit here and listen to it with you and you'd be like, it just sounds like regular classical music. I don't get it. And that's because they will go from things like Toccata in D minor into, and they will throw in phrases from the Mario video games, or they'll throw in phrases from, you know, this huge exciting bit of classical music, and they'll reverse them and throw in a nursery rhyme and do very subtle things that you have to have. PDQ Bach is one of those groups that you have to have a few classes of music theory under your belt in order to get a lot of the humor that they're pushing out. And I love them. I think they're hilarious. And yeah, that's, I think that's the last bastion of subtle humor anymore is in nerds.
Well, and you also, not so much, I mean, lack of subtlety, although this is definitely here in what I'm about to bring up. There's also what I call the jackassification of America. And this started in the 90s when Jackass started, or was Jackass early 2000s?
Or Jackass...
I don't remember if that was 99 or early 2000s.
Right around there.
But okay, it's what I call the jackassification of America's youth. After Jackass hit, everybody wanted to be, you know, like Jackass. So you saw all these morons all over, you know, when YouTube started, that's what YouTube basically was idiots hurting themselves trying to do stunts.
Right.
And that led into the whole live, real life gross out. Not so much joke, just gross for the sake of gross. I saw one, it has been years ago, so I don't even know where the video would be, but it had over 1 million hits on YouTube. It was a guy who had a clear bucket, so you could see it, ate a bunch of pasta, stuck his fingers down his throat, threw the pasta up into the bowl, drank the bile again, and then ate all the pasta again and threw it up and ate it again. It had over 1 million hits, and I'm going, why? Why? Why do people want to see that? That's disgusting on multiple levels, Scott.
Yeah, I know.
Why would people not only do that, but they're encouraging this moron to do more of that kind of stuff?
I don't know. When it comes to stuff like that, I have one basic rule. If you're willing to do stuff like that, do me a favor and hurt your balls. Hurt your balls as much as humanly possible. And if you can, try and remove them from your body, because you won't breed. the basic rule.
Well, it also, like, did you see the banana man that set himself on fire? That was a famous YouTube video.
No, I saw banana phone.
No, it was this idiot in a banana costume. I'm going to say probably 16, 17 years old. You know, again, doing a stunt off Jackass. They pour rubbing alcohol all over him and light him on fire. And then, of course, he's in total pain and is, you know, he's all swollen and he's in the shower before they run him to the ER. And he's all, okay, that didn't work the way we planned it to. And it's like, okay, that's what's wrong. The Jackassification of America. People see it on Jackass and they don't read that little disclaimer, you know, closed road or professional stuntmen involved or things like that. I can do that. They did it on Jackass.
Well, and again, I encourage people to do that, please. If you think you can recreate those stunts, go out and do so, and hopefully you'll hurt yourself enough that you won't breed, or you'll die more of Earth's resources for me.
Because, honestly, with how often, just watch an episode of Jackass and see how often people get punched in the balls. You can't get hit in the balls that much and keep your balls. Your testicles can only take so much abuse. Guys, they're pulling their punches. The guys on YouTube are not. They're hitting each other full force in the nuts with baseball bats and then going, I had to have my testicles removed. They didn't on Jackass.
Yes. But again.
Natural selection, sort
see, of. See, again, I encourage that. I think that America has become way too safe. We have too many warning labels on things. I think if you want to go ahead and use your curling iron or your hair dryer in the shower, please be my guest.
I want to be able to buy lawn darts, Scott.
I know.
Why can't I buy lawn darts anymore?
I know.
You can't
know.
Even sell them on eBay because they're a recalled product.
That's right.
That's fucking ridiculous. When I was a kid, we had lawn darts, and we were stupid enough. We tried to catch them. Here, throw it here. I'll catch it. We should have been weeded out if we'd got hit in the head and had that lawn dart barreled into our skull.
Oh, yeah.
That's called natural selection.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm also the type that wants to go to the Grand Canyon and remove all of the guardrails. Please get a nice, good, close look out there. You know. But that's a totally different. We could do a show on that topic, on the over-pussification of them. In fact, I think we have.
We didn't do a whole show, but we touched on it.
But when it the other there are two places that I really like the humor coming out of them, and that is, one, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, that Canadian sense of humor, very self-deprecating, very subtle in many ways, and often played completely straight. There's no and this is another thing that Family
there's
Guy
no irony.
Well, there's real irony in the actual definition of the word, not this idea of what I call hipster ironic. Which,
oh, okay. You know, I'm only listening to this ironically.
Yeah, they define it just as well as Alanis Morissette did in that song. No, bitch, that's coincidence. when it comes to, but yeah, the self-deprecating, the Canadian humor, things like the Red Green Show, things like. Like I said, the couple of shows that I mentioned on the CBC.
You can't do that on television.
You can't do that on television.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that that's Canadian.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of people think that was a U.S. show.
But that was another one where they had the big slime jokes of, you know, I don't know, goosh, water, goosh.
Yeah.
And those were the big jokes. Obviously, it was a kid's show. You go for big jokes in kid's show.
Speaking of Alanis Morissette.
But they also, with some of their other jokes, you know, the firing squad, the kid in the dungeon, the lockers, they did have some very subtle and self-deprecating humor.
And they also had the barf jokes.
They also had the barf jokes, but that wasn't Barth's Burgers. It wasn't, you know, it was the way it was presented. You knew it was pretend, and they didn't really go for the gross out. For instance, when
I saw them throw up, they always turned off camera
exactly,
to throw up.
Exactly, and it was just a more subtle humor and I appreciate that sense of humor. The other place where I find a lot of funny things is the BBC, Radio 4, Radio 1 has some funny stuff. And again, these are available via podcasts. For instance, the Comedy of the Week podcast.
He has a cat's ass in his head at his head right now.
I have a cat who went, I am going to lay on your shoulders. Comedy of the Week podcast. The Friday Night Comedy does a kind of a switch off between the Now Show, which is very topical and very fun, not very subtle in any sense of the word. And then the news quiz is the other one that the Friday night comedy will bounce between, where, again, very very topical, a little bit more subtle there. But when it comes to English humor, you get one of two. You get that dry, subtle sense of humor that's similar to Canadians, but not quite the same. Or you get the big Benny Hill type humor. Yeah. You know, which is, it's big and it's silly, and there are a lot of poop and pee jokes, but it's somehow, a lot of
mugging for the camera.
Yeah. And that Monty Python, we're doing this because it is absolutely ridiculous, and you can laugh at the ridiculousness.
Right.
But it's not that big, low common denominator joke of American Pie or any of the blah movies, you know. And I don't know why the BBC, to me, does the humor so much better. Is it an American thing? Is it, you know?
Well, now, when I'm going to bring up this next thing, I don't mean gotcha in the fact of, like, you know, hidden camera kind of stuff.
Right.
Americans also seem to love the, huh, fooled ya, gotcha, kind of jokes. And I don't understand why that has become so popular. Some of them border on false advertising to the point where I actually returned DVDs based on some of their, haha, fooled ya jokes.
Okay.
Like C-Lab 2021. I love that show. Okay. I thought the show was absolutely hilarious. Most of the jokes worked. The DVDs came out. Commentary on every episode by cast and crew. The commentary is like, one was just a guy eating a sandwich over the thing, just the regular episode, then... Oh,
right, you've mentioned that before. Yeah,
and it's like, why is that funny? I mean, I actually saw reviews online that are like, oh my God, that was so hilarious that they would do that, and they totally got me. I love them for having fooled me like that. Why is that funny? That to me is, you lied to me, I want my money back.
See, but you're also one where you put, and this is definitely a you thing, you put a little bit more weight to those commentaries than most people I know.
Because I actually wanted to know the behind the scenes, and I'm curious about that.
And that's what I'm saying. You put a lot more weight to them. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing by any stretch. But it's... No, I'm not. But a lot of people don't. They just, you know, they might listen to the commentary track once for something interesting and not much else. The one commentary track that I thought was entertaining... Total Recall.
I've got it, but I have not listened to the commentary on that.
This is, I think this is a recent addition. I don't know if it came out for the whole movie or if this was just a YouTube thing, but Arnold did a special commentary for at least this little YouTube bit where it was Arnold recalling Total Recall. And it was just Arnold describing each scene in the movie as it happened. He goes, oh, I remember when we did that, and this is what happens.
I'm not so sure that's a joke.
And to me, that there were layers, and I hate using this word, but that really was meta, because it is the product referencing itself, and that to me is funny.
With Arnold, I don't know if that was faked or not, because... If you've ever heard him on some of his other commentaries, he spends most of the movie describing what's on the screen anyway. He spends most of the movie for Conan describing, and this is the scene where Conan does this, and this is the scene where Conan gets his sword, and this is the scene. He very much has, this is what's happening itis when he does a commentary. So I'm not so sure that Total Recall thing was fake, or if that was just him not having anything else to talk about.
And that's the kind of humor I like also.
But it might not be humor. It might have been just bad.
But that's what makes it funny to me, is this might not be humorous, but damn, it's funny.
Well, and then speaking of humorous commentaries, and it is on the same topic, so we're not really that far off. There are certain types that they do that are funny in short bursts, cannot sustain funny for an hour and a half. And that's like, have you ever seen the commentary on Bubba Hotep?
No.
Have you seen Bubba Hotep?
Once.
Bruce Campbell plays... He does the entire commentary as old Elvis, like this is a true event. And it's like, okay, you know what? That's funny for about 5 to 10 minutes. By the hour mark, you're just going, oh my God.
Okay, another good example of that. Again, going back to this guy with the glasses, there was, I forget what movie it was, but they referenced a character, and I think it was Walker.
Nostalgia Critic.
Yeah, Nostalgia Critic did commentary on one of their reviews, and I was curious, and he did this commentary as this entire particular character that he did for a little 3-second gag in the review. He did the entire commentary as that character, and it just, I thought, okay, they're gonna do this for 5 minutes. Nope.
But it's the whole
review, and yeah, you're right, and I don't know if that's a modern thing that I've seen, but I've seen that more often of the joke that goes on too long.
Well, and then there's also this new thing that's only come out in the last couple of years, and I really do kind of blame this. Is sort of, I think it started as a making fun of the hipster thing that evolved into its own monster, and that is humor that is so unfunny that the fact that it's not funny makes it funny. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, and that's the joke dragging on too long, is that it's kind of funny at first, then it's not funny, then it gets funny again.
Well, like, I mean, just sometimes these are just ill-conceived ideas. Like, I know, I think you've told me you love Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension, right? Have you ever tried to listen to that plodding, ridiculous commentary on the DVD?
No.
They do the entire thing that the entire movie was real, and they had to get all the documents declassified by the Buckaroo Institute so they could talk about this. And they keep talking about, yeah, and we had so much trouble declassifying this to be able to talk about this and to show you what Buckaroo did. And it's like, oh my God, you're going to do this through the whole fucking commentary, aren't you? Why can't you just talk about filming the fucking movie? Why do you need to do this like it's a gag? I just don't understand. You know, it's just that's a bad idea.
There's another thing that has changed in humor, and I think this is me. I don't think this is so much my source material, but let's hop into the old Wayback Machine and go back to 1989 or so. That's it. Either pet the cat or my shoulder. I'm not sure what you're reaching for.
The cat. She's fallen asleep on the back of your chair.
Yep, she does that. But let's step back. I finished elementary school, so we're in the 80s. Saturday morning, of course, was the Saturday morning cartoons, and we love that. And then you go out.
Back when they had that.
Get the hell out of the house and go play. But Sunday was great because we got the paper. And you, of course, have the Sunday funnies or the
You brought this up to me off mic, yeah.
And I remember reading Garfield and finding that funny. I remember reading Marmaduke and finding that funny. One that I occasionally still find funny is for Better or Worse, but I remember it being funny all the time. Far Side, I absolutely loved the Far Side. I know that it's not your sense of humor, but it's that weird, I like the weird sense of humor.
On a quick side note on that, did you ever see the two animated specials that they had for Farside?
No, I didn't, and I regret it.
They are hilarious.
I wonder if I can find those online anywhere. But
I have them. I got the VHSs. I can make you copies.
Okay. But I loved the Farside. Even Doonesbury, which recently I've been reading, and it's turned preachy.
Well, Doonesbury was always kind of preachy. To me, Doonesbury only always had one character that I would go, oh, he's not in it, I don't care. Okay. And that was Uncle Duke. Again, blatantly based on Hunter S. Thompson, to the point where Hunter, he said he never tried to sue, but he said if he ever met Gary Trudeau, he was going to kick him in the balls for that.
And another one that I absolutely loved was Bloom County and the work of
Berkeley Bloom Brief. County was...
I loved Bloom County.
And you know what the weird thing is about Bloom County? Other than references to Reagan and Michael Jackson and stuff.
Right.
Those comics hold up.
I know.
You go and read those collections today. Berkeley Breathed stuff is so timeless, other than, you know, like I said, an occasional very mid-80s reference. I have been trying to get Berkeley Breathed on this show. I would love to interview him.
He doesn't do interviews with anybody.
I know. That's why it is so hard to track Berkeley Breathed down.
But nonetheless, Bloom County, which was absolutely
to me,
hilarious.
That's the peak. That is the best like comic strip ever. You're never going to beat Bloom County to me.
Calvin and Hobbes, I really enjoyed.
But not as good as Bloom County.
I hear you. Calvin and Hobbes, I really enjoyed some of these. Even Peanuts on occasion. And I know that, yes, it had very overt Christian overtones, but I have a soft spot in my heart for Peanuts, mainly due to the holiday
specials.
Actually,
I think you're misremembering that. Charles Schulz hated the religious stuff that was put into the animated specials.
He was offended at that.
You listen to some interviews with him. He hated the fact that they put all that religious stuff in there. To him, he was not religious.
Well, if you read some of the books that came out, and I'll have to dig through my archive because I kept a bunch of them. Even the books, and I don't know if Schulz did this or if the publisher did this or what, but there are still overt Christian values and everything.
Okay.
Still in the, and if you go back and you read this the actual strip, they're there. And I'm not questioning that you believe what you heard, but there's a lot there. Even if he hated it, there was an awful lot even in the strip. But nonetheless, and I know that stuff is there, but there's always a soft spot in my heart for Peanuts because I found it funny.
Foxtrot?
No, not so much.
See, I loved Foxtrot in the 90s. I thought they had their finger on the nerd pulse. Whenever Jason would appear, they would be very intelligently referencing something going on in nerd culture.
I didn't read, I think part of it is I didn't read Foxtrot all that much.
Okay, I've got all the old books I can. One that I used to like, and again, this is like a Kids in the Hall thing, even though it's only a couple of years old, I go back and read the first couple of collections and I go, it's not funny anymore, was Get Fuzzy.
Yeah, I still enjoy Get Fuzzy. But again, it's one of those that you can only read once or twice. But I read through, and this was last Sunday because we just started getting the paper again.
Okay.
I read through the comics, and I didn't even crack a smile. I don't know if I have changed that much or if the jokes in there, like Garfield has about 4 jokes, and you're guaranteed to get one of those in every strip.
There's still a couple I like the Lockhorns, because those are just... funny. But they're just so mean-spirited. I can't believe that some of the mean-spirited marriage humors made it through today. Or to go back to Calvin and Hobbes real quick, I wanted to say, I would be curious, any female listeners, I'd like to know if they liked Calvin and Hobbes, because you and I were, at one point, young boys. Calvin was very much an accurate depiction of what a young boy was like.
Exactly.
Did young girls have the same reaction to Calvin and Hobbes as we did as boys, because we kind of saw ourselves in that strip?
I can tell you I've met a few girls who have.
Because
I don't know if it's, you know, an all-girl thing, but...
LostInTheStatusShow@gmail.com.
Exactly. But yeah, and I don't know if... And I go back and I read Marmaduke, and I'm like, yeah. I've heard that joke before. Another one that annoys me, and you want to talk about overt Christian overtones, BC.
Well, yeah.
That was never funny to me.
Hagar the Horrible. You've got all this great potential for humor in like the Viking and the plundering, but they want to keep it so family-friendly and PC. Beetle Bailey. I mean, if you go back to the 70s, there was some pretty overt sexual harassment to Miss Buxley.
Sexual harassment, racism within the ranks.
Wasn't Andy Capp a wife beater for quite a while? He would always threaten to beat his wife, and he was a drunk?
That was along the same veins as the Honeymooners. You know, one of these days, Alice, boom. But, you know, you always kind of knew, no, this is a strong enough woman involved in this.
She's going to kick him in the nuts if he tries to punch her.
She's
going to
defend herself quite well. But you don't see that humor anymore. There's absolutely nothing funny about spousal abuse. But if I were to walk out there and you've heard me and Dawn talk, and if I threatened Dawn, you know damn well that I would probably end up in a small crumpled ball in the corner if I ever did anything.
But as George Carlin said, there's nothing you can't make funny. He said, yeah, rape is not funny. Doesn't mean you can't make a funny rape joke. Picture Elmer Fudd raping Porky Pig. That's funny. And see, you just smiled a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's funny. We just made a funny rape joke, yet rape is not a funny topic. You can make fun of something that's not funny, like spousal abuse. It's not funny when it really happens. It doesn't mean you can't make a joke out of it that isn't, that is funny.
This is true.
you know.
But we've lost that. We've lost that side. It's there's a lot of stuff out there that we can't make fun of anymore because such and such is going to get up. You know, we can't even have video games with Tanuki suits in them anymore because PETA gets up in arms. And even if I were to go out there and joke with Dawn about spousal abuse and people know damn well that she's a strong enough woman that ain't nothing going to happen, not that I'd ever hit her in the first place. But, you know, imagine if we did that on a sitcom and now got a hold of it.
Well, you want to talk about humor changing? All in the Family. Absolute perfect example. I can't believe that show was made in the 70s. That show would be controversial today if it were a new program. And I love All in the Family. That was not only subtle, but overt humor at the same time. That was a show that truly pushed comedy's boundaries for what was acceptable in the 70s.
True.
But today, kids, I don't think would accept All in the Family. I mean, looking back at the episodes, you can't make them watch them. I think they
get too offended.
Ironically enough, yes.
Yeah. A very subtle example of changes that have happened. Look at game shows. Go back and watch Family Feud from the late 70s, early 80s.
Are you talking about the preacher's wife that swallows sperm on the Family
Feud?
Well,
I mean, you had stuff like that that was just kind of a funny outtake. Match Game, of course, you had...
Newlywed Game was pretty dirty.
Newlywed Game was dirty. Match Game was dirty. And you had this innuendo to it that was hilarious. Plus, you know, if I'm a game show host, I've got my skinny microphone, and I go up and I greet the woman, and I might say, "My God, you look lovely today. Look at your eyes are beautiful. Give us a kiss." And Family Feud. What was the name of the host of Family Feud that would always kiss every woman?
Richard Dawson.
Yeah, always kiss every woman that's on the show. It was just his thing. Today, you look at game shows, and there isn't a camaraderie anymore between the host and the players. Howie Mandel, Deal or No Deal. Perfect example for Howie Mandel to not only be a decent host for that show, but to really step up to the guest and be like, "I'm on your side, but you have to make this decision. Here's the button.
Here are your options. What are you going to do?"
Exactly. Let me get to know a little bit about you. Let me have some fun. You know,
just don't touch me.
Even if it's Howie Mandel, you know, give us a fist bump. Not used. Match Game. If it were to come back and it were to use the same jokes that was Dick DiBartolo, the head writer for Mad, used to write for Match Game, and he was the one that was famous. One of the ones that was famous for coming up with, you know, blah-de-blah was so dirty that he stuck his blank in the blender, you know, or something like that.
Well, and, you know, I know we're kind of off on game shows here, but I'm sorry, but Drew Carey is not an adequate replacement for The Price is Right.
No, there's...
I'm sorry, it was not the same show.
That's right. Bob Barker brought this humanity and this sense of humor to it.
Perfect. Speaking of humor, Bob Barker. The joke in Happy Gilmore would not have worked. Seeing Bob Barker kick the living shit out of Adam Sandler, that somehow is inherently funny than if it were just some old guy beating the shit out of Adam Sandler in Happy Gilmore.
It's because of the personality. You know, we all know Bob Barker, and we all see him
kicking the living crap out of Happy Gilmore.
Exactly. You know,
that's
funny. If it were just some random old guy, you're right, it wouldn't work because random old guy has no personality.
That we're inherently following.
Exactly. By the way, Bob, Addie is fixed.
you know, and then we've only got a couple of minutes left, but then it also comes down to like that Adam Sandler style humor that he's what, almost 40 now, maybe over 40?
Oh, he's
40,
over 40.
And he is still reveling in 12-year-old humor. I dare anyone to sit through 8 crazy nights while eating. It is all poop jokes and butthole jokes. There's actually a point where a bunch of a guy gets a outhouse turned over on him, and then it freezes. All the shit freezes, and a bunch of deer lick it all off because it's ice, and they got shit in their teeth, and that's the joke. And you go, "Wow, even at 12, that wouldn't have been funny."
Yeah, but for some reason, his humor worked in Billy Madison.
And Happy Gilmore.
And Happy Gilmore. But
you'll also notice he had co-writers on those, too.
Even Waterboy had some...
Oh, I hated that
had movie. Some decent, you know, had some decent moments and some decent one-lines to it. But, yeah, and I don't know where... And like I say, I think it's specifically American humor has taken this turn to the, we have to be family-friendly. If we're not family-friendly, we're going completely in the opposite direction.
Have you ever seen a Japanese game show? They're fucking absolutely insane when they go with humor.
And they're hilarious.
I don't agree, but...
Most of them. There are some that are... Yeah.
Have you ever seen a Japanese sitcom? They're batshit in just... You know, they're batshit insane. Japanese sitcoms. I've seen a couple. And you just kind of go... Wow, maybe it's a cultural thing, but I just do not get why that was even remotely funny.
It's very much, and this could be a show in the future because I could do, you know me, I'm an Anglophile and I'm a Japanophile, and I'm not talking about anime. Sorry, boys and girls, I'm not.
Although we are trying to get to that anime convention.
Not a huge anime fan, but I do enjoy Japanese culture, and I could do an entire podcast on Japanese culture, and. Why it's different and everything like that. But yeah, we've taken this turn to we either have to be so family friendly that all of the humor is just drained from the situation.
Or the exact opposite,
where it has to be so family unfriendly and gross and disgusting that all of the humor is drained from the situation.
Well, and then you've got, you know, we touched on this before, but stuff like Scott Pilgrim versus the World. The whole movie is based on, oh, they referenced that thing I like, you know. Oh, what are you going to do? I'm going to get a life. And it's got the little mushroom, the one-up mushroom, and he grabs it, and it goes one-up from Super Mario Brothers. And you go, okay, I get it, but that's not funny. Was that was a joke?
I like Scott Pilgrim versus the World, but it's a guilty pleasure. I know I shouldn't like it.
But the whole movie's built around around referencing video games and video game culture to the point of that's all it is. It's just like one of the epic movies. It's all just references.
So, yeah, something to think about. But anyway, so we have a few minutes left. Where is good modern American humor? Where can we find it?
Good modern American humor? There's not a whole lot, really. I mean, I can't even... point to an American sitcom. Well, no, I can. Suburgatory is absolutely hilarious on ABC. By the time this airs, it might even be canceled because it was on the bubble. But it was one of those bizarre, almost like it's taking place in a comic book sort of shows about two New Yorkers, a father and daughter that move into the suburbs, and the suburbs all of a sudden are like a whole different universe to them. And it's very cartoonish with exaggerated characters. And Suburgatory is actually really funny with some really bizarre jokes.
And to me, I think you find most good modern American humor in podcasts and in independent media that's not... I do like Big Bang Theory. I do find it funny.
You and I fight over that.
Yeah, we fight over. I know you don't, but I do. I enjoy it mainly because I'm one of the characters, and I grew up with friends like all of the characters. And I also look at the blackboards in the background and stuff like that, and understand the math references and understand what they're talking about. So it's targeted to me, and I enjoy it.
Venture Brothers.
Venture Brothers is okay.
They've gotten worse. So yes, the earlier seasons were better.
But yeah, but Venture Brothers has some good stuff. There are a few series on Adult Swim that I still enjoy, but a lot of it you'll find in podcasts. Like I said, the CBC ones, the BBC ones that I mentioned.
I would hope us.
The Nerdist.
I would hope ours.
No, you're not funny.
Actually, a lot of people really love this show and Radiodrome. If you look at like the iTunes thing, a lot of people are like, these guys, and they say it for both shows, these guys are absolutely hilarious, and you know, these guys make me laugh every week and whatnot. I hope they're not doing it ironically.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, guys. I really do. We try. But yeah, to check out some other podcasts too, like The Nerdist. I enjoy
you've recommended
that
numerous times.
A couple
yes.
of it. There are plenty of others out there with some humor, and don't be afraid to leave the U.S. and look for humor in the rest of the world.
Also, don't be afraid to try and look for Scott on Facebook. He loves having billions and billions of friends that he never will get back to.
If you want to contact us, S. Murray 75, I'm That's at Gmail. That's at Facebook. That's Google Plus.
And Lost in the Static Show at Gmail.
Lost in the Static Show at Gmail. Thanks a lot for joining us, everybody. We will see you next week. And Happy New Year.
That was last week.
I know that was last week, but still.
It's 2012.
I know. Weird. And the world hasn't ended yet.
Just click stop.
Okay.